Greetings, human beings, and welcome back to Apartment 303, a podcast for community fans. My name is Dave, and alongside my co-host Adam, we are here monthly to discuss all things community, each and every layer of the show, and why we love it so much. Adam is actually sitting out today's episode, but will be back next month for the conclusion of our two-month Halloween arc, which starts right now. Sitting in for Adam on today's episode is a very special guest, and we will be kicking off the discussion into the Dean's best costumes, episodes, and scenes, as well as discussing non-Dean costumes in the show and potential missed cosplay opportunities. Joining us now in Apartment 303 is our friend Elise at Princess Bilbo. Elise, welcome to the show. So we've been wanting to have you on for some time, and I was waiting for the perfect moment. And now that we've finally gotten to doing a deep dive, not only on the Dean, but, you know, obviously it's hard to get too far into the Dean without talking about the amazing costumes and just flavor overall that he brings to the show and to the dynamic of the show. And with that being the topic that we finally gotten to, I could not think of a more perfect guest. So thank you so much for coming on. Before we get too far along into these topics, could you please just give our listeners a quick introduction? I know who you are. We know who you are. We've been following your work on the internet for a long time. And we also know that you're a tremendous community fan.
I'm a humongous fan. And I started watching from episode one. Basically, I watched this soup and Joel McHale was talking about this new show he was on called Community, and I decided to watch it. And I fell in love with it, and apparently a lot of the fans think I look like Gilly and Jacobs.
Well, I would take that as a tremendous compliment.
I certainly
look nothing like Gilly Jacobs. However, I have been asked on our show and other shows which character most closely identifies me in real life, and that is definitely Britta, for sure.
Yeah, I always tell people that I look like Gillian, but I am Annie, 100%.
Now that is an interesting combination. I think... Now I'm starting to regret not having you on for a deep dive into those characters, but let's take advantage of what we do have here. So that's exciting. We've connected on Twitter, and not only just through your community fandom, but you are someone who I would consider a cosplayer. And depending on different people's perspective, that might mean different things, but I would like to get your perspective on what that means. What is it that you do in that avenue, and what makes it what it is?
So I consider myself a cosplayer. I started cosplaying in 2005, but I started going to anime conventions in 2002. And I started cosplaying because I saw everybody else dressed up as all these characters I loved, and they just seemed to be having way more fun at these conventions than I was having, so I needed to join in. And in 2005, my brother and I cosplayed a brother and sister, and I basically been cosplaying since. I make my cosplays, I buy cosplays, I commission friends. I really think everything is cosplay. If you're dressing up like a character, if you have an outfit inspired by a character, all that is cosplay to me. It's all about expressing your love for a series, a character, or even a design you like. It doesn't matter how you express it. It's embodying that character, and that's all you need to do.
That's actually a perfect segue. Literally, the next question I had here written down for you is there, or what is, in your mind, the difference between cosplay and just wearing costumes or dressing up? And it sounds like for you, it's a pretty generous line.
Yeah, cosplay is costume and play. So all you need is a costume and to play, to have fun. So that's all you need to cosplay.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like everyone who just throws on a costume to have fun on Halloween is at least doing their annual cosplay then in your eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. I thought the bar was going to be a lot higher, so I could scratch out all the things I had to try to justify other things to you. That's fantastic. All right, so like I said, we are going to be spending the next two months from now leading up into Halloween, really getting into the Dean. You know, we've done some deep dives on the show before on Jeff and some of the secondary characters, but, I mean, at least from my perspective, it's hard not to consider the Dean the most important character on the show that is never actually a part of the Greendale Seven, right? I think typically when people think of the main characters, they go straight to the study group. And in preparation for this episode and going back, I was actually really surprised at how many episodes, at least in the first few seasons, the Dean just does not appear in. Because in my mind, I think I kind of retcon him into every episode in my brain, even though he doesn't appear in a handful. But there's definitely a trajectory there and definitely a progression. But rather than going through things in a chronological manner, I think maybe a better approach for us today is to kind of just get into the superlatives. And I've got a lot of them here that I want to get to, so I'm just going to throw a few out and kind of see where you want to start, if that's cool. But I was hoping to get to his best costumes, which might also be interpreted as your favorite costumes that he wears. And then also just, you know, your favorite scenes from the Deans, your favorite episodes, a little bit of the other costumes that appear in the show outside of the Dean, because while he's certainly the highlight of the cosplay, at least from my perspective in the show, he is certainly not the only one who engages in that sort of fun. So I don't want to sell anyone else short. So that is the plan for today. Without further ado, let's get right into it.
Yeah.
So do any of those superlatives specifically, is there one you wanted to start with?
I mean, I can totally start with my favorite outfit that he has.
All right, let's start there.
My favorite outfit, I think it's a lot of people's favorite. It's the half and half one. Yeah, where half of them, he's in a dress and the other half is the suit. Yeah, and he gets really flustered about going to the bank.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's not one I had on the list. And that one, actually, I think that when I see that one referenced on the internet, the feedback is usually pretty extreme to one side or the other. And I think that is absolutely perfectly fitting for the nature of that costume, right? Like, that costume is literally a dichotomy split down the middle. So it's very fitting that it seems like internet opinion on it is very divided and split down the middle. I wasn't expecting you to pick that one, but that one is definitely one that has been popularly debated.
Yeah, I absolutely love it because it's such a complicated outfit, but simple at the same time because it's just a simple dress. It's just a simple shirt and pants, but putting those together is more complicated than it appears. And then he has half a wig on and I'm obsessed with his line where he gets so upset that he has to go to the bank dressed like that. I'm laughing thinking about it.
Are you imagining being one of the bank tellers when he arrives?
It's just so funny. And then his reaction to the end of it, I feel like that's something a lot of cosplayers go through because I know I've had moments when I'm making my costume and I'm hating it. I hate everything about it. It's not turning out right. I keep messing up. I have to restart over and over again. And then I get to the convention. I don't even think it's finished. I have to pin things on or hot glue things on. And then I go there and just get a lot of positive feedback about my costume. People come up to me and say they like it. They want photos of me. And then I get photos back and I'm just like, wait, I hated this, but now it looks really cool in this photo. Or, oh, all my friends said they really liked it and that I did a really good job putting this together. So I don't know, maybe it was also that feeling of I know what he's going through in this moment that really draws me to this costume.
That's a really great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because for all of the costumes that we see from him, and I don't have an official count yet. Hopefully by the end of the next episode, I'm going to have some hard data on this. But at least speaking subjectively, it seems like the standard operating procedure when the Dean introduces a new costume or a scene in one is one of, through what you're describing, kind of the finished product, right? Mm-hmm. So this costume specifically is a rare chance where we get to see him kind of not 100% secure in his finished product, right? We're actually getting potentially an unfinished process. And, you know, so it's really nice to hear you say that in this costume we get to see him not just being already fully committed. You know, maybe there were some issues in his process. Maybe he's not 100% committed, and not just because he's literally split 50-50 left to right.
And I just think it's something that a lot of cosplayers, or honestly anybody creative, can completely understand, because when you're working on a project, you get that feeling of doubt, and you're like, imposter syndrome gets in your head, and you're just like, no, I hate it. And then you get all this positive feedback. So it's also kind of like a little inspiring just to keep going with it, because it turns out your hard work will be appreciated.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like if there's one thing community does, it shows an appreciation for the Dean and for the costumes that he brings to the party, although that isn't necessarily reflected in the moment through the other characters in the scene, right? Which, maybe that adds to the entire running gag, but it's definitely something that took some time to build up. You know, in season one, I think there were maybe two, three times where he was dressed up. Clearly, it was not an idea that had really been fully fleshed out yet, you know? He was an important character. They had him oftentimes doing the cold open, you know, doing the announcements. It really wasn't until later on in seasons two and three where he started popping into the study room, and the costumes really became a thing. But I did want to touch on the first couple before we get too far into the meat of, you know, his peaking in the middle seasons. So in season one, and feel free, either you or our friends on the internet here who might be listening to this, to correct us, but from what I can tell, the first time that he appears in costume is during season one Christmas, when he is non-denominational Great Father Winter, which is a pretty good costume, even though it doesn't get a lot of screen time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the first time we see him in a costume, because I can't think of one before that. And when I was looking up the costumes, that was the first one I saw, and I think that's the first costume he wore.
It's pretty thorough. I wish that we would have gotten a bigger look or a longer scene with him in that outfit. It almost looks like the Cookie Crisp wizard robe that they give Pierce later on in the series. Although I have to say, and feel free to disagree, but I think the Dean pulls that whole ensemble off better than Pierce does. So.
Oh, he pulls off everything better, except for one. I am on Team Shirley on the musical cold open with Jeff singing.
With the fuchsia sparklies, right?
Yeah, I'm Team Shirley. She looks better in the dress.
She does look better in the dress. You know, having them wear the exact same outfit was a cheap laugh, but not a hollow one, because even as I rewatch the episode, you know, all of these years later, I still laugh at that every time, even knowing he's about to, you know, come in the exact same outfit, basically trying to Shirley.
I remember in the Tumblr days, when the episode first aired, we had a GIF in the community fandom with him, and it says Academy Award winner, and then because Ken Jeong pops up as, like, actual doctor. And it was just, like, subtitles on that GIF.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. And, you know, obviously shows that while both of these people are tremendously talented and tremendously educated, you know, they don't take themselves so seriously that they're above having the best kinds of fun. And that makes it really easy to love and appreciate them, at least from my perspective. So yeah. I'm going to throw you a little bit of curveball here. I was maybe going to build up to this, but I'm glad you went straight to the exciting stuff. So I was going through all of these costumes, and there are so many good ones. And I think that maybe this isn't my favorite costume of his necessarily, but I think my favorite cosplay is in the episode Modern Movement, the one most people famously remember as the Kiss from a Rose episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that scene in contention for one of his best scenes and one of his best episodes overall, but in that episode, he appears in two different sets of clothing, right? And at surface level, it seems like those might be two things that no one would consider cosplay because they're both regular clothes from the Gap that, like, I don't know, regular people would wear. I don't know what that means, but the point I'm trying to get at is that, you know, we're so used to him being in these crazy, bombastic outfits that in that episode, I feel like he is wearing a costume and engaging in play when he dresses in these regular outfits. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Oh my god, yes, because I was actually going to bring that up too. Season 3 at the beginning, when he's trying to be like the...
In his Dean cosplay. I consider that his Dean cosplay. He's got the three-piece suit, the tie, the goatee. He's like dressing like the Dean he wants to be but isn't yet, right?
Yes, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so mad at Feisty Laybourne for shaving the goatee. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the goatee, but, you know, I supported what he was trying to do there in spirit.
Not a lot of people can pull off a goatee, but, you know what? His wasn't that bad.
No, it really wasn't. I was very sad for him when it was forcibly removed. And not just for the loss of power that situation was really about, but... No, I'm really glad you brought that up. It's easy to appreciate all of his most extreme moments, but I really, really get a kick out of those times where he is kind of playing at being regular, right? Not in the same way that Troy and Abed do when they're, you know, chop-busting fellow adults, but in a way that is obvious and is different than his normal MO. So we've kind of touched on best costumes. Was there another favorite scene or favorite episode from him that we haven't touched on yet that you had?
I'm also a big fan of the payday rap.
Oh my gosh. Is that the only time that he goes so far he scares himself? There are other times, I think, when he's making the film that he goes too far, but, oh, that moment.
I think also with Honda.
Yeah, he definitely is very vulnerable, and his weaknesses are quite exposed when it comes to the Honda situation. He's definitely a level 7 susceptible, I think, is mm-hmm. how it's classified.
I also like his black and white outfit.
Very creepy, but very effective.
It reminds me, well, now with WandaVision. Oh, Pleasantville. That's the movie I was thinking of. Oh,
it's so creepy. It's so creepy.
Yes, and I love it.
No, that's very good. That does remind me of Pleasantville. I forgot about that movie. Probably intentionally. I'm sure it was a fine film, but I think I have exposed my own weakness to certain creepy factors here. Black and white always gets me. I don't know what it is. You could put someone humming Daybreak in a Field of Daisies to black and white, and it would probably creep me out a little bit. Are there any costumes that you specifically feel are super underappreciated or undernoticed in terms of the level you see people talking about them or seeing them shared on Twitter or whatever the medium may be?
You know, I think we all, like, just really just get behind Dean and all his costumes. I can't think of one that's underappreciated. Even the ones that are, like, really, really simple, like, honestly, like, let's face the facts, he is a well-built man. He is very fit. So even shirtless ones, or he's wearing just a tank top, it's very appreciative.
I'm glad you bring that up, because in the episode where he's making the Luis Guzman commercial, you see a costume regression from him. And I would contend that the first outfit you see him in is kind of the opposite of what we talked about a few minutes ago about him cosplaying as a regular or as a Craigular Joe, if you will, modern movement, right, where he's kind of dressing as a regular guy who shops at the Gap. But in this episode, he kind of starts out with he's not in his normal Dean wear. He's not in his Dean cosplay. He's in like jeans and a hoodie, right? And as the episode progresses, his outfit degenerates in sync with his mental state. So, like, first, he's just wearing, he kind of just looks like a producer. Like, he didn't shave for a day. He's got on some loose clothes. In the second scene, his jacket is open. You can see his chest, right?
Yeah.
And then it works down to, by the end of the episode, he's just in a wife beater or an A-frame tank top, as other people might refer to them.
Yeah, all his outfits, they really used it to reflect his mental state in that specific episode. And then we just get to watch him in all his costumes. I just love when he wears his costumes because it's just such a reflection of who he is. And I just totally get that as someone who wears costumes regularly and works with costumes.
Okay, I'm going to pitch it to you first. We've kind of touched on it in a roundabout manner through a couple of the other superlatives, but is there a singular episode for him that sticks out in your mind?
I mean, of course, the Luis Guzman one. That one's such a great episode for him because we get to see so much of who he is as a person and his want for perfection and, like, respect. Just a great episode for him.
Yeah, I would argue that he's the best B character in the show, but in that episode, and maybe one or two others, but not many, he is the main character in the A storyline plot of that episode. That episode is focused on him primarily, not him as a supporting character to the other storylines that the other characters are going through.
Mm-hmm.
So that is absolutely a favorite of mine as well for the Dean. If I had to pick one, season 2, episode 21, Paradigms of Human Memory, the first fake clip show, right?
Yes, yes.
We get
that was going to be the other one.
Yes, we get the montage, and so many of the favorite costumes that people have submitted on Twitter for the Dean, most of them come out of that singular montage that is like a 2-minute bit in that episode, because, you know, the bit is in this fake clip show, it's like, you know, how many times can you come in and crash the study room conversation in some awesome slash ridiculous outfit, right? And then they go through 8 different outfits that he's never appeared in before. And at that point in the show, he'd only done like maybe 3 or 4 outfits.
Yeah.
So it was crazy that we get this fake clip of like 8 different outfits, double what he's actually been seen in the show, all in this just really, really fast hit. That's where we get the Catwoman, the Baroque outfit, Tina Turner, Caesar, Gone with the Wind. Like, there's just bam, 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 bam. So if I had to choose one episode of Dean costumes to retire to a desert island, I think that's the one that I would take.
Yes. Oh, I still quote some of his puns. They're so good.
They are good, and from a lot of characters, it's really hard to land puns in general now in the current comedy climate, right? Say that 3 times fast. All right, so outside of the Dean, and this is where things get a little bit trickier. Obviously, the Dean is the primary character that the writers use to have fun with costumes, right? To cosplay. But he's certainly not the only person, the only character that appears in costume or with those kind of shenanigans throughout the show. So without getting too deep into every other character, because they certainly don't in anywhere compare to what Dean brings to the table on this front, are there any costumes or moments from other characters that stand out from you that you feel you really want to make sure get mentioned here?
Well, I'm a big fan of Britta's Halloween costumes. I don't think we can go very far in talking about costumes without talking about how great those are.
All of them or just one specifically?
I like all of them, but I think she's like the cutest in the dinosaur.
I would have to agree with that. And I think that perhaps, please correct me if I'm wrong, but from my perspective, I think that what there's a theme that ties all of her costumes together, and she announces that theme specifically in the very first Halloween episode where she tells Annie, and granted, at the time, this is a setup for Annie's punchline, but she tells Annie, like, you know, I have this costume on because, like, I'm trying to be fun and creative. I don't just want to dress like a hoe for the cheap, easy points, right? Like, I'm so annoyed by girls who just, you know, use Halloween as an excuse to dress like a slut. Annie's like, oh, yeah, that's terrible. And then takes off her cape and is wearing, like, a skin-tight leotard that's all black. But Britta's costumes really hold true to that throughout the whole series, right?
Yeah, they do. And she's just so cute in them. And I just feel like Gillian Jacobs had such a great time wearing them.
She did. The entire premise of all of her costumes is to not have unnecessary sex appeal, and yet her genuine approach to those costumes leave her in a place that I find very attractive, and I think that that is very admirable to be able to pull that off on both sides. It's a fine line to run.
And I also enjoyed the fun they had with Shirley's costumes.
And not knowing what they may or may not have been.
Exactly. Which is so funny because I knew what they were, so it was funny watching everybody get them wrong. Okay. Except her Harry Potter one, all she needed was a scar, and then she would have been solid.
And I feel like, and I'm guessing here, not speaking from experience, that is an effect that could probably be created through makeup, right?
Oh, yeah, just take an eyeliner pencil and draw a scar on your forehead, and then you're good to go.
Okay, cool. Well, next time I Harry Potter cosplay, I'll try to keep that tip handy here. But no, even, I think it's season two where the joke is no one knows what her costume is, right? Because that's where she hooks up with Chang. But even in season one, it's far into the episode. It's like, who is she? That's not the running joke that they verbalize in the show, but certainly a question that had crossed my mind. And I think that is true consistently with Shirley. I'm glad that you bring that up.
Yeah, they're like, oh, she's Urkel. And then I do like Annie running in.
Why is Urkel ripping the antenna off Professor Slater's car? Yes. Dean is the only one who understands who she is. That's so fantastic.
The costume king himself knows who she is.
And they don't spend any time with that. It's just straight to the chase. Like, no, he just knows. With everyone else, they do the whole dance of, like, showing the viewer that character doesn't know what costume she's trying to wear, right? So that is definitely a fantastic one. I'm going to have to make sure I get Adam's opinion on this for our October follow-up here, but there was one other topic I wanted to get you on record on specifically before we let you go here. And I'm so grateful for you taking the time to spend with us today on these topics. But outside of the Dean and, you know, other characters and other cosplay, we just talked about Shirley. Were there any missed opportunities that you noticed throughout the show? Like an episode where, you know, something popped up in your mind, or was like, oh, this would have been a great chance for the Dean or whomever to embrace this sort of fun dressing up thing that they didn't take advantage of.
You know, that's really hard because I just think that the creative team behind Community, the costuming and the set designers, they constantly went above and beyond for this show, and I really, like, I feel like this is a cop-out answer, but I swear, I genuinely feel like they did such an amazing job on all the costumes all the time. Everything was on point. So I can't really think of a missed opportunity. I feel like everything was so good.
That is 100% how I felt when I wrote down this question. When I was sitting in the studio thinking of, you know, fun things for us to discuss, and when I wrote down that question at the time, I didn't have anything in mind. It wasn't like, oh, I've got a, you know, one or two things in my mind, so I'm going to see what she thinks about this. It was more of just, you know, hey, I wonder. But when I was going back, in preparation for this episode, there was one episode of Community that really stuck out to me for this question, and I'm going to share that with you now. And it's in the episode Contemporary Impressionists, which is in season 3, where Abed basically is addicted to hiring actors to portray other actors, right?
Yeah.
And he gets in deep with French Stewart, who is this mob-style impressionist gangster. And in that episode, we see both versions of Michael Jackson. We see everyone in the study group not only just dressed up, but fully committing to playing a character for the sake of getting Abed out of trouble. And in that entire episode, the Dean is not there. He's not in that plot. And I really would have loved to see who they would have had the Dean be in that context. So while you didn't necessarily have a situation that stood out to you in terms of missed opportunities, now that I'm putting you on the spot without asking you to have prepared for this question, in that episode, had the Dean been part of the group, are there any celebrities or anyone you think that would have necessarily been an ideal candidate or would have been a really good fit for the Dean to embrace as a character in that episode?
All I can think is fake Moby.
Yes. He would have absolutely, 100%, he would have passed. Really, had he not been so committed to being a good dean at a terrible college, he could have had a completely successful career as a Moby impersonator. I think that is hard to argue with, especially the way they reverse engineered that concept later in season 3 by actually bringing that in. So that is a very good one. I feel like he and Moby would be commonly mistaked for one another out of context. Before we let you totally off the hook here today, are there anything totally open-ended, scenes, episodes, costumes we haven't talked about that you want to make sure gets mentioned?
I think one of my favorite episodes where, like, the costumes were amazing in general. Of course, the paintball episode, specifically A Fistful of Paintballs, has some of my favorite costumes. And then I also really, really love, because this is coming from the fact that I am more than willing to cosplay every version of Britta that I possibly can. If I have a face that looks like hers, I'm going to use that to the best of my ability.
Sure, you can manipulate all the other factors, right? You're starting with the perfect face.
Yeah, one thing I've always dreamed of cosplaying is actually her from the Floor is Lava episode. I know a lot of people want me to do her gothic look from the end of season 3, but I've always wanted to do Floor is Lava Britta with her hair that looks so cool. My hair's already curly.
Tell me more about this costume.
So it's where she has like half of her hair on the side of her head pulled back, and it's like super curly hair, which works for me because I already have super curly natural hair. And she wears like the black outfit, and then I would just be quoting the fight with Jeff where he's just like, knock knock, who's there? Floor.
So not only would it be a fantastic costume for you to wear, it sounds like you would also enjoy and not have to stretch too far to really get in character as well.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. That is not one that I had written down. I'm so glad that you brought that up. But, no, that is fantastic. I really, really appreciate your time and your perspective. You know, Adam and I definitely could have shared our opinions on some of these costumes, but it's so much more valuable to have the perspective of someone who is consistently, you know, engaged in this universe. So thank you so much for coming on today and for being part of the show. We really appreciate your contributions.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, that does it for today's episode. Please join us next month in October for part 2, the conclusion of Deaning and Halloweening. As always, Apartment 303 is available on Apple, YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. For Adam and Elise, This is Dave signing off. We will see you in the next episode of Apartment 303.